here's the entire book of Revelation right here. In verse 1 of chapter 8. This is all you need to know. And when it opens the seventh seal, a hush occurred in heaven, as it were, half an hour. That's all you need to know. All you need to know is this brief, eloquent pause before the worst of the calamities take place. Yesterday, I compared that to the era of grace as God's eloquent pause. The name Paul means pause. I'm tying Paul in with your life with the book of the unveiling. The name Paul means pause. And in Paul, God has paused his workings with Israel. As Paul says in Romans 11:25, Israel has been temporarily blinded until the fullness of the nations come in. And then verse 26, all of Israel shall be saved according as it is written. In the meantime, there's this pause. And I suppose if we had been around in Israel at the beginning of this pause, as Paul is called on the road to Damascus, we would object to it. Because God has been working with Israel, and there was great excitement in Jerusalem at the time, and the kingdom was near. John the Baptist had proclaimed it. Jesus himself had proclaimed it. And now Peter is proclaiming it. And we would have been, in our human anxiousness, in our human desire to get things done for Israel, we would have been cheering it on, just as I said in the beginning of the week, we would have cheered on the Christian contingent that would attempt to save Christ. Who wouldn't? What human being in their emotions would not want to save Jesus Christ from the trauma of the cross? Who wants to see that? And if you're in the spirit of the thing, if you're watching the miracles, if you're seeing the 5,000 being fed, you want it to keep going. Even Peter wanted it to keep going, who, when Jesus predicted his death, said, Lord, may it not be coming for you. But Jesus knew that there would be a pause. There would not only be a pause in the proclamation of the kingdom, but there would be a pause in the program for Israel. And who today likes that? Many people reject it, and they adapt such heinous teachings as preterism, that God is finished with Israel, replacement theology, that the body of Christ is quote-unquote spiritual Israel, because they don't like the pause. They don't understand the pause. You ruin the flow. Everybody knows on a football team, you like the momentum. You once you get things rolling, you don't want to stop. That's why they have these hurry-up offenses where they don't huddle up in between plays. They keep running play after play, trying to keep the defense off guard to work their will and get the football into the end zone. Go, go, go. Keep it going. The last thing you want to do is call a timeout and break the momentum. But we see God over and over again in scriptures breaking his own momentum. And we say, what a tragedy in our human estimation of time. And if we were at the Fortress Antonia, I think we claimed that we would be with the program. But how do you know you'd be with the program? Nobody wants Jesus to die. Peter himself, who walked with him and fellowshiped with him and heard the truth, said, Lord, no, we're not going to let you go to the cross. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Well, Peter learned his lesson, right? Did he? What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? He picks up the sword to fight off those who would arrest his master. So he hasn't learned anything. Well, after this he learned. Well, no, he denies his Lord 3 times. It's over and over and over. And yet, there's Jesus Christ plodding along minute by minute, pausing when a pause is needed. One of the most auspicious pauses of his was letting Lazarus die. Lazarus dies in his absence, and he is implored to come back. Oh, no, that's not how it was. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was sick, and the Lord was told about it. Come back, because his sisters, Mary and Martha, know that if Jesus is there, he can cure Lazarus. Jesus pauses. He doesn't go right back. And the pause is the intelligence of God. And we are learning it, but we don't inherently have the intelligence of God to break the momentum, to not go back. Talk about momentum. When Jesus fed the 5,000, as I spoke on earlier this week, the momentum was on his side, miracle after miracle. The populace was in a froth to make him king. What does he do? He pauses. He leaves. He goes into the wilderness. He disappears from them. They go to take him bodily to make him king, and he disappears. It's a divine pause. When Jesus is reading from the book of Isaiah in Nazareth, he pauses. He heralds the word concerning the passage in Isaiah where the blind will see and the lame will walk, and the Lord will come to herald the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stops in the middle of a sentence. He rolls up the scroll and gives it back to the deputy, because the next sentence was, "And the day of vengeance of our God." But he pauses, because it is not time for the day of vengeance of our God. And it was still 2,000 years away as Jesus stood at the synagogue at Nazareth and rolled up that scroll and gave it back to the deputy in the middle of a sentence to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Here. Why didn't he finish? "And the day of vengeance of our God," because he's intelligent. And the pauses of God are intelligent. And when our Lord is crucified, there's another pause. A 3-day pause. And it seemed to those who loved him like an eternity. It seemed to his mother like an eternity. Many of you have lost your loved ones, and it seems like, since the last time you saw them, an eternity. God has called you, and you have known of your expectation for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you haven't seen it, and it seems like an eternity. But it's not an eternity. Do you know what it is? It's a pause. That's all it is. Jesus rolled up a scroll in the middle of a sentence. Because to God, 1,000 years are as a day, and a day as 1,000 years. 2,000 years have passed, and the rest of that statement by Isaiah, read by our Lord, has not been fulfilled. 2,000 years. For a comma in the text. That's the patience of God. Where is our patience? I'm not challenging us, because I know patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and it can only come if God gives it to you. But I ask again, where is our patience? Then you see, it's only a pause. And we see the pause that is Paul, and this window of grace that is Paul, this disturbance of the momentum of Israel. When things were just getting on a good roll, God stops it. Jesus stops proclaiming the message. He begins to tell his disciples that he's going to be delivered up to death. He begins speaking in parables, and things get weird. Things get funny. He goes to the cross. He rises from the dead. He's ready to ascend to heaven. His disciples ask him, "Are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He says, "Not yours to know the time," because he knows there's a pause coming. There's a Paul coming. And we're in this pause. But like all pauses, it is only a pause, and the time will resume. The time is going to resume for Israel when the pause will be over. There is a pause in heaven, divine, decreed, planned ahead of time, placed into the program, intermission, as it were. When you go to the concert, it's printed in the program. You have this amazing performance of the orchestra. Why don't they just keep going? There's a pause, and it's into the program. There's an intermission. Maybe you need to rest. Maybe the musicians need to rest. Maybe you need to use the bathroom. There is a pause in heaven for the love of God. And this pause occurs very timely between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, because the seventh seal is going to unleash the seven messengers of God who blow the seven trumpets, the last three of which are known as the first woe, the second woe, and the third woe. And you ain't seen woe till you see the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet that have come out of the seventh seal that is preceded by a hush in heaven, as it were, 30 minutes. It truly is the stillness before the storm. But remember, Habakkuk 3:2, in God's wrath, he remembers mercy always. That's what we're seeing here. In his wrath, he remembers mercy. His wrath is always purposeful. His mercy underlies everything. And his love underlies everything. And you know one of my favorite sayings. I've said it to you many times. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Some pauses are beautiful and needed and necessary, such as this pause in heaven before the wholesale destruction and taking back of this earth's government and religion. Thank God for it. Other pauses will vex you. Other pauses, like the 3 days between the death of Christ and his resurrection, vexed his loved ones. The pause between our apprehension of the expectation that we have and the fulfillment of it vexes us. It's not only been 2,000 years of Paul, and in one way you can look at that as fantastic. Look at all the people who have come into the body of Christ over the 2,000 years. Yeah, what, 15? Okay, great. But you can look at it another way. Why does it take so long? It vexes us that we talk about this. I write about it. I've written about it for, oh boy, 21 years. That's a long time. Actually, longer than that. Seems like a long time to me. I'll never forget hearing Ray Prinzing, one of my favorite kingdom teachers, telling the story of his wife who said to him, after 50 years of active ministry of Ray heralding the kingdom, when are we going to stop talking about this stuff, Ray? When's it going to happen? And Israel certainly must feel this way, that their kingdom has been delayed so many different times. It must seem like a joke to them. It's certainly a joke to the world. It's only a pause. It's a divinely orchestrated, exactly timed pause. This is a 30-minute pause to John's sight, this pause between the sixth and the seventh seal before the seven trumpets blow. To him, it's 30 minutes, not 29, not 31. It's an exact timed thing. It's not arbitrary. It's not decided upon at the last minute. It's premeditated. Premeditated peace. You often hear premeditated murder, premeditated mayhem. This is premeditated peace. God is showing the universe that he is not rash. And I, for one, am happy for this. And if I think that the time should wind up in 5 minutes, okay, I'll stay with that. But if God thinks it should go 5 more days or 5 more months, then I'm fine with that too. Because only he knows how long this pause should be. Only he knows what needs to happen in my life before this happens, before my change takes place. I'm for it. I'm for the pauses of God, even though they vex me. I'm for it. And I want you to be for it too. It's active. You're actively waiting. You're not on hold. You're not hanging in midair. God has you in his hand. He knows what he's doing. This is an intelligent wait. And simply continue to trust him.